¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. Happy Thanksgiving week, familia. Happy Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes, sir.
Jorge Georgie Martin here and the primos. What's Thanksgiving without familia? And I got my primos, Ricky Torres, Hector Reyes. ¿Cómo estamos?
What's up? Happy Thanksgiving.
This is
the time we now get into Christmas Carol time. Oh, best time of the year.
right before that storm.
Man, you know what? It's like Black Friday.
That's why it's called Black Friday.
There's like an Christmas unwritten rule, right? There's this unwritten rule that says you can't play Christmas songs like throughout the year. Yes, some of you out there, myself included, will indulge here and there just in Christmas carols randomly throughout the year, but you can't, you're not really allowed, quote unquote, to just go pedal to the metal, like 24 hours a day, Christmas songs, on all your, listening media until after Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving comes, you can now wake up in the morning to Christmas music and during the day to Christmas, and you can go to sleep to Christmas music. And I listen to that Frank Sinatra, Pandora, holiday.
Hey, man, it's Thanksgiving week. We could talk about Christmas next
week. I'm just saying, this is part of it.
But
Christmas
just one,
carols.
I just want to talk about all the great foods I'm missing this year.
Oh, yeah, baby.
All your guys' favorites. I want to find out which tia it is that makes the tamales with the...
Well, that's Christmas,
with
too.
With the chile. Well, they put a chile and cheese in it.
Oh, yeah, that's rajas.
Oh, who makes that?
My sister makes that. I think the Aminga makes them, too.
Yeah, Aminga makes them.
My sister makes them killer, too. I think it is. It's not mozzarella. I think it's Monterey Jack cheese.
Oh my god, it's
so
good.
And like the spicy chiles in there, and done. Fantastic, fantastic.
And the Irene's ham.
Yes. Oh, yes.
One of my faves.
Yes, sir.
Now,
that's Christmas though, right? Or it was...
No, it's both.
Well, the tamales do start. The tamales do start.
I feel like tamales... This year we were supposed to have tamales for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they start.
So that's why it reminds me of that. But I did want to know who made those tamales because I need to hit them up before Christmas this year.
There you go. Put your orders in.
Yeah. What do you guys remember the most turkeys that we've ever had? I remember like six or something like that.
It's
I always felt like people did different things. Like my mom would bring a ham instead of a turkey.
I would have loved to get like a turkey count, every year I had to get turkey count. Cause yeah, there's been some years where it's just, like you said, like six, seven.
And they're all different styles.
Oh yeah.
That's the great thing.
That's the best. Oh my God.
And I love the different mashed potatoes. Monica makes a good set of mashed potatoes.
Yeah, man. Casseroles.
Even the stuffing. I'm a fool for stuffing.
Oh, give me stuffing all day. Todo el día.
Then you get like the cranberry sauces. You got some that are there with like orange zest and just like different kind of flavors mixed in there. And then there's also the sweet potatoes and candied yams and stuff like that, right? Don't forget the tapatio. Boom.
And of course, a million chips and salsa, and there'd always be some guacamole around just because it's a Mexican house and you got to have the guacamole around. And it's always funny, there'd always have to be like, everything is somewhat Americanized, but then we got to have the arroz y frijoles around.
Always.
That's always like there. every holiday.
Yeah,
like
I remember
four different rices to pick from.
One of my fond memories recent from Thanksgiving. I forgot whose house we were at, but I remember even taking a picture because being the beer geeks that we are in the familia, it was like just a couple of years ago, and I think there were seven ice chests. And I think I took a picture of there were seven ice chests full of beer and growlers, and I just remember being like pretty impressed. I was just like, wow, this is a lot of beer, all different kinds. There was Monkish there was Bottle Logic, there was Modern Times, just all kinds of stuff. Everyone just brought all kinds of stuff to it. Was a cornucopia of wonderment.
That post COVID party for our family is gonna be lit.
It's gonna have to be a sleepover. Just gonna have to be a sleeper.
Yeah, definitely.
No one's just rent like a huge mansion. Yeah.
No
one. And or Uber for sure.
And we got to start back playing cards again because I missed
that.
Like Tripoli.
Tripoli.
Oh my god, Tripoli, man! Wow, I remember that.
Tripoli,
so fun.
Tonk was Tonk. The, you know, it's funny that kind of reminded me of a memory from the early 90s, and I remember it because Nico he was going to go see his friends. He goes, okay, I want to show them Mexican Thanksgiving. And all of a sudden we were all in the garage. It was at Tiasada's house when they were living in Lancaster. And I think it's the house that they're in now, but you know, it was before they moved back east,
right?
And then they came back, and everybody's in, you know, we got a bunch of guys in the garage, we're all playing cards, we're all drinking. Nico decides to get goofy hats and start taking videos of everybody, and all of a sudden everybody's got a hat, and I'm like, I don't have a hat, because I think I was dealing. And next thing I know, I look over and I'm like, well,
your hat.
There's a, you know, there's a big bowl, a big stainless steel bowl. I'm like, let me put it on my head. Next thing I know, Abuelita, God rest her soul, has a couple of utensils and she's playing the drums on my big hat.
Nice.
And Nico's got it on video.
Man.
We were banging till like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Awesome. I remember I spent the night at Tia Sara's house, and Nico got video of the next morning, like the aftermath. Everybody was all just banged up.
And so that's awesome.
He had a lot of fun showing that one. And then he showed it. Yeah, we saw it again on Christmas. But,
memories.
The things we miss. The things we're going to miss. Man. Rick, wait, you got one?
No specific memory. Just always talking about fantasy football recently, because everyone would be wondering who's going to be in the playoffs.
For sure. Yeah,
who's going to get knocked out.
It's a meeting of the minds.
You have the games going on, so that's like in the back of everybody's head. Rick's, even though we're all trying to catch up,
yep.
The games in the background, we're like, hey, let's go check this out real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So other than that, yeah, you talk about my bad trades. I've yet to use CMC this year.
George and I were talking. When I play you, it's his bye. So even if he's healthy, he's still like, you're still not going to play.
Yeah. So it's just like, I what sucks is our league is so close. I need to win. Even though I'm in first place,
I'm tight.
One game from
everything's tight, man.
Like seventh place is 6-5, tight. And I'm 7-4. So,
right. Yeah, man. It's, it is nuts. It's nervous time at the Fabulous Forum, like Jake Hearn used to say.
Well, that's the crazy thing, you know. It's like right now, and in fact, I was reading an article today by Mike Lombardi, who's one of the most respected voices in the NFL. It's in The Athletic, and he was talking about how he sees the season in multiple sections. The first section is opening day, you know, the first Sunday, and then second section starts with Thanksgiving weekend, because that's when like the teams that have been eliminated are pretty much gone. Now you know who's going for the playoffs, and that's kind of like the way fantasy football is. This is where, you know, you're going into week 12. You know, if you got a shot, you got to win. You basically, like our familiar league, I got to win out because I'm 5-6, so there's no getting in at 6-7.
Who do you play?
I got Tony this week, so
he's been balling.
Wow, yeah. he went for like 130 points last week. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, it came out of nowhere. So yeah. I got to win out just to get into that group with six people who are 6-5, so I can maybe take one out, because I got some points where I can win tiebreakers. Man. So,
Hector sounds like he's pretty confident.
I feel good. You know, I just dropped Matt
Even
Stafford.
Even though you play me next week.
I'm focused. I'm focused in. I got Derek Carr going up against the worst QB defense in Atlanta. I got
Do you
Keenan
think
Allen.
You're in if you win this week?
I believe I am. I believe I am. Only because I have a lot of points. I have a good chunk of points. That's good. Are you good? Even though there's a lot of guys that are 6-5, they don't have the points that I do. I think I have 80
your
points
loss
on some
to
guys,
me
like
70
points
something.
On some guys. That if they tie me, I got the
right,
edge by a significant amount. Like, you know, it's like I have like a week on guys. You know, you're not gonna make up 70 points on somebody.
And who do you play this week?
I play Adan.
Dang, because Adan's got a crappy team. But I hope we lose.
Well,
anyways.
Not right. I'm just saying he's had some bad breaks, but
he's injuries.
Yeah, and he's got, I mean, he does have Gibson. He has Gibson, which I'm a little bit scared of. He's got Chubb, who I'm a little bit scared of. So if those two guys ball out, I'm in trouble. So you will have to wait and see. But
it's an exciting end to the season.
Yeah, man.
Oh, it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be crazy. Well, so let's get into the Thanksgiving recap.
All right, let's go.
Bueno, familia, we had two games instead of the usual three that we have on Thanksgiving. Yet I tell you, we still finished with some big performances, with none being bigger than the rookie Antonio Gibson going for 115 yards and three TDs for the Washington football team. Two of the scores were in the fourth quarter, with Gibson really icing the game and for the regular game and for fantasy managers, with 23 and 37 yard TD scores in the 41-16 blowout of the Cowboys. Gibson now has 11 touchdowns on the season, with 645 yards rushing and another 32 receptions for 233 yards. Just a stellar, stellar season. If Justin Herbert hadn't been having the type of season that he is, we'd be talking about Gibson as the runaway rookie of the year in 2020. That said, the rookie will still get plenty of votes if he keeps this going. I tell you, he's been phenomenal to own. I picked him up in the seventh round in one of my leagues, and I did a little Twitter poll, and I found that the latest somebody picked him up was actually picking him up on waivers in week three. So, increíble, increíble. Alex Smith threw for 149 yards and a touchdown. Even though the Cowboys have been a favorable matchup for opposing passers this season, it was really game script. The Washington football team got up in the second half, and it was just, you know, run the ball, and that led to Gibson having the big ending of the game. Terry McLaurin did finish with 92 yards on seven receptions, but his biggest play of the day was a tackle on Jalen Smith, who had just intercepted a pass. It looked like he was gone. McLaurin just took off like a bat out of hell, kind of like half of the version of DK Metcalf earlier in the season. He tackled Jalen Smith just short of the goal line, and that looked like a huge play because Washington ended up holding the Cowboys to a field goal when the game was still relatively close. But you know, big ups to McLaurin, who got named a captain this season in his second season. Logan Thomas finished off the scoring for Washington, catching the one touchdown, and finished with 20 yards on four receptions, which, as we all know, is going to, because of the touchdown, that's going to put him in the top 10 for tight ends for the week. The Cowboys didn't get much going on the day against the formidable Washington D. Andy Dalton threw for 215 yards and a majestic, beautiful 54-yard TD to Amari Cooper, who finished with six receptions for 112 yards in addition to the score. No other Dallas pass catcher had more than 41 yards on the day. Ezekiel Elliott didn't have much room to maneuver this day, as he ran for just 32 yards on 10 carries. It's amazing that Zeke has only a single 100-yard game this season. So just another casualty of 2020. In the early game, it was the Deshaun Watson show. Just incredible. The veteran threw for 318 yards and four touchdowns to lead the Texans to a 41-25 blowout of the Lions. Watson threw two of those TDs to Will Fuller, who finished the day with six receptions for 171 yards. Just phenomenal day. One of them was on a flea flicker that really looked like it was a broken play. Duke Johnson ran right into a slew of Detroit defenders. He pitched the ball back to Watson, pretty much a desperation play. And Watson just reflexively looks up, almost in the same motion, threw the ball to a wide open Fuller on the left sideline for a 34-yard touchdown. Just untouched. Phenomenal day. Duke Johnson did have 80 combined yards, and he scored on a pass, so he was able to hit on a favorable matchup. For Detroit, Adrian Peterson turned back the clock with a pair of TD runs, rushing for 55 yards on 15 carries, and kind of filling in for DeAndre Swift, who was still out with a concussion. Kerryon Johnson had an all-around game with 98 total yards, though he did not get into the end zone. Matthew Stafford's 295 yards were mostly in a catch-up mode, with a TD to the resurgent Mohamed Sanu. I think it's his third team that he's on this season. TJ Hawkinson caught 5 of 8 targets for 89 yards. Stafford almost had a reception near the goal line on a flea flicker, but the ball was ruled a trap. That's it for Turkey Day football.
So let's get into some chisme.
Chisme!
Lamar Jackson tested positive for COVID. That was news that came out late Thursday evening after the football games were done. Just a tough one. I mean, you've already got J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram out. The Ravens are really going to have to dip into the reserves. Conversely, the Steelers-Ravens game has been moved to Tuesday night since the Ravens are really not allowed into onto their facility until Monday. So it's going to be interesting because the Ravens are supposed to play the Cowboys next Thursday night, which will have to be moved. We're going to have to keep an eye on this on Twitter as the story is developing. Coach Matt Rhule for the Panthers said the team is not expecting Christian McCaffrey to play this week. He's got the shoulder injury, so Mike Davis, be ready to fire him up. Over in New York, the Jets, Sam Darnold, are expected to start him this week against the Dolphins. I mean, it's going to be a tough matchup, but really, I mean, for Darnold, it's time to really start looking at maybe his next team, kind of performing for his next team. Who is he going to get traded to? Vamos a ver. Let's see what he has. Someone who watched him a lot at USC, I think he is going to be an NFL quarterback. I'd love to see him get an opportunity. Staying in that game, but on the other side of the ball, Salvon Ahmed of the Dolphins has been ruled out for week 12. So with Miles Gaskin still not assured of being ready to play in this game, this could be Matt Breida this week. So keep an eye on the game, keep an eye on the inactives on Sunday morning. DJ Chark in Jacksonville is out for this week with a rib injury. So if you need a flex play, you know, you could be getting Keelan Cole or Laviska Shenault. Desperation, the Hail Mary. We've seen the Hail Murray work this season, but maybe a Ave Maria. John Brown for Buffalo has been ruled out for this week with an ankle injury. So Cole Beasley is going to be the number two receiver there. So that's going to be an important play for them. Bad news for the Eagles. Lane Johnson is really expected to miss the rest of the season. He's having ankle surgery, which is going to really knock him out for 4 to 5 months. I mean, he's one of the best players on the offensive line. You know, I love love me some offensive linemen. I want to make sure they get the play. So hopefully, you know, speedy recovery, big guy, because you're one of the best. Staying with the Eagles, Zach Ertz is looking like he's going to be trending in the right direction to play on Monday Night Football against Seattle. So that's another weapon for Carson Wentz in a good matchup against Seattle, who has just been giving up points. They've been a little bit better the last 2 weeks, but again, yeah, still expecting that to be a shootout. So that's it for some chisme.
All right, now we're back into week 12 previews. And Ricky, take us to Buffalo, Primo, with your boys.
My Chargers 3-7 at Buffalo 7-3. Right now, Buffalo's got the edge, 5.5 points. Or what is it? I don't know how to say the spread. They're negative five.
Favored by 5.
But I mean, either way, I feel like Buffalo's got the edge here. They got the better team. The Chargers just are not good against the pass. So expect Josh Allen to just be able to throw all over them. But on the other side, Herbert's still going to get his 300 yards, maybe even still three touchdowns. It's the running game that I'm worried about for the Chargers. They just can't run without Jackson, without Eckler. And we don't even know if Eckler's really going to be back or not. So I think this is going to be just a passing game all day. Keenan Allen's still going to be the best wide receiver, creating mad separation. So, and he's calling him out too. He called out all the receivers. He said, "You might be faster than me, but nobody can create separation like me." Boom. And he's right. And Justin Herbert knows it. So I think this game's just going to be all in the air. I would definitely go with the over. I don't see why not. It's going to be sunny and 50 degrees.
Ha. And the thing is, you know, it's sunny and 50 degrees, not a lot of wind, which is great. Going to be great for this time of year in Buffalo. I mean, you expect that as a California team to be having issues. You know, the interesting part is both teams are bad against the quarterback, but good against the wide receivers.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it breaks down on that. You know, both teams are in the high 20s. The Chargers are 26 against fantasy quarterbacks, Buffalo 28. Thank you to our friends at Pro Football Reference. And but wide receivers, the Chargers are number 8 and Buffalo is number 9. But I still think this is going to be
I think that's because the Chargers and Buffalo play against Patrick Mahomes. So he just crushes their quarterback ratings.
Probably. I mean, both teams are, you know, having a tough time against the tight end. Buffalo doesn't really have a tight end to get a lot of points. But Hunter Henry, I mean, this could be a spot for him to actually break out and have some, you know, get some yardage, even though I just don't see Keenan Allen as doing anything but just exploding this weekend. I mean, he is just the hottest guy.
Gobble, gobble those targets like a turkey, man. That's what he's gonna do. Gobble.
I can see the flame lit under Hector right now.
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good.
Dude, after seeing 16 for 19, 145 yards, a touchdown, I'm like, all right, is that like the first four games of the season? Like, what are we looking at here?
Exactly. That's one game.
It's like, oh my goodness.
One game. And you know, we look at you're talking about the stats, you know, that both teams are pretty decent against wide receivers, you know, fantasy wide receivers. But there's certain guys, as they say, that Moss, their defenders, you know, that are unguardable. And one of those guys is Keenan Allen. One of those guys, Stephon Diggs, they're going to do what they're going to do, you know, regardless of what the rankings say. You know, you're not going to stop Keenan Allen. You're not going to stop Stephon Diggs. They're going to do their
thing. Would you play Buffalo defense?
Would I?
Like, are they worth playing? Cause I have them, but it's like, are they going to allow, cause they haven't been the best.
Well, especially because you have a guy like Justin Herbert that just gunslings, and he's got Keenan Allen, and because their defense against the quarterback is not that good, I can really see this being like, to your point. I mean, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be what, like 28-24 at the end, you know, this or more, 35, you know, 35-28, something crazy. Like, it might be like a super high scoring game. So, and what does that do for your defense? I mean, if Justin Herbert throws for three touchdowns and, you know, they run Kalen Ballage goes for another touchdown, and you know, Buffalo has given up 35 points. What does that give them? Like 4, you know, 6 points on, you know, for your defense? Well, you don't want that. You know, go, you may want to look somewhere else.
All right. Well, let's go to our next game. And we got New Arizona. England at 4-6 hosting Arizona 6-4. So, you know, you kind of worry about a warm weather team, a dome team going to New England, but it's going to be kind of similar weather to what it is in it's going to be an orchard in Buffalo. It's going to be 49 degrees and sunny, not a lot of wind. The one thing that, you know, we want to see, we haven't heard a lot about it, and there hasn't been a lot, you know, he's been getting lightly worked in practice, but Kyler Murray, you know, he had that shoulder injury that he kept getting treatment during the game against Seattle. And, you know, it just looked like he was off a little bit. And I mean, obviously they lost that game, but you know, they kept, you know, injury experts have said it's not something that's going to be an issue. It's kind of like a pain management issue, and Kyler Murray is going to play through it, but it's something to keep an eye on. Is it going to bother him? Excuse me, con permiso. Is it gonna bother him enough that it's gonna throw him off in this game? I'm gonna go with the fact that he's got weapons, and New England's defense is they're battered right now. They're just not even in the secondary. Even getting Stephon Gilmore, who's coming back from an injury, he's not 100% himself. I think this is going to be a game that Kyler Murray is going to fire up DeAndre Hopkins and then just and light it up. The interesting part is, Hector, I know you got both. You still got Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds.
Both. Yeah.
Did Kenyon Drake show enough in the last game where he was, you know, he ran the ball 11 times and obviously he had the 100 yards the previous game before. Are you firing him up? Are you playing both guys? What are you thinking?
I like what I saw in Kenyon Drake. I think I'm going to fire him up. And, you know, Chase Edmonds, I think I was a little bit nervous. He scored, I think he scored late or, you know,
he scored late, 2-3 more points than Drake.
Right. So I think Arizona is leaning to Drake. I think he's clearly their number one. So just based on that, I have to go with Drake. It's kind of funny that, you know, in our previous, our show that we recorded before that game, we had already talked about, I think I had even asked the question, like, who should I start, like Drake or Edmonds? And both of you guys are like, oh yeah, start Drake. So I was like, all right, cool, I'm going to start Drake. And then I totally forgot that it was a Thursday game, and then they started playing. I'm like, oh shit. Oh darn. I forgot to change my lineup. So ended up starting Edmonds, and you know, lucky for me, knock on wood, he ended up scoring. But I mean, they both ended up scoring, luckily. But Drake got the early score. I was like, oh man, I screwed up. You know, I should have started Drake. I'm in trouble. I'm going to lose or whatever. And But Tate Simmons got his score. So, I mean, it was a game where both of them had a touchdown. So, but I think it was pretty clear just watching that Drake has the edge. So just based on that and just based on, you know, pure, you know, risk reward and just, you know, number crunching, I'm going to have to go with Drake.
Here, I thought you were a genius last week.
No, but it all came down to, it was all purely accidental.
The one that that's kind of 50-50 for me on Arizona is Christian Kirk. He's had big games. He's, you know, last game he was only okay, 50 yards, but you wonder about that one. On the other side, though, there's Cam Newton, where he's coming off a game where out of nowhere, 365 yards, and Arizona is not great against the quarterback or the wide receiver because they're 25th against quarterbacks, 24th against fantasy wide receivers. Guy, Cam Newton could be a sneaky play in this one. I mean, I haven't written my Adentro y Afuera column yet. I'm going to post that on the same day that this comes out on Friday. But I may be looking at Cam as one of the Adentro, one of the guys to play. And I think with the, huh?
The floor is too low on that guy for me to want to do that.
I mean, as far as the streaming option, you know, if I'm between him and, you know, I'm like, who would be one of those? Let's see, not Lamar, even though Lamar's got a tie. Well, actually, yeah, Cam Newton or Lamar. Who are you guys starting?
Man, ooh. Cam Newton, because Lamar's got to go against Pittsburgh. You know what? I'm going Lamar because you cannot start Lamar.
That's a 2 QB league, right? you have some options. But yeah, I think you're right. In a standard league, standard scoring, you if it's Cam Lamar, you got to go Lamar because Lamar is capable of going off, you know, any given day. So you don't want to miss.
Cam's barely shown his ceiling, and I think this he broke his ceiling, and he'll be back down to earth real soon.
He busted out. Yeah. The one guy that to really watch out for is Damian Harris, because now that Rex Burkhead is out, it looks like James White is going to be handling pretty much exclusively the passing game. But mm-hmm. You know, it looks like they're going to get Sony Michel back. But I still think Damian Harris is the guy who's going to be getting a lot of the early carries, the early down carries.
We shall see.
I mean, and how about Jacoby Myers, Damir Bird? Are you guys tempted on either one?
I was looking at.
Man, I don't like any of them.
I was looking at Damir Bird. But, random. Yeah, but it's a big red flag when you're looking at, you know, a guy on the waiver wire like Damir Bird as a wide receiver to fill in your you know a bench spot for you and you know possibly a flex play, and then you have a running back like James White that gets more targets than a wide receiver. So. That's a red flag. You know, you're like, you know what, then maybe I'll pump the brakes a little bit. And I agree with you, Rick. If Damir Bird got a boatload of targets and, you know, he put up those numbers, 132 and a touchdown, I'd probably consider scooping him up off the waiver wire. But the fact that James White is getting more targets or got more targets that game is just, I'm going to have to wait a little bit to you know, see a little bit more. You know, if Bird's getting 12 targets a game, you know, double-digit targets, then he may be on the radar, but for now he's, you know, if a wide receiver is getting fewer targets than a running back, you got to hold off.
Yeah, that's eso es problema. Eso yeah, es muy problema.
That's not good. And that's you know, that's Belichick's offense. You know, he doesn't do anything normal. He doesn't do anything, you know, quote unquote, what you're supposed to do. So yeah, it's a wide receiver should be getting more targets than a running back, but you know what? Belichick doesn't care. So he, you know, he's going to run things the way he wants to run things. So yeah, that's a weird situation. So even though I was looking at Bird and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of experts out there saying, scoop him up on the waiver wire. I'm just going to have to wait and see if I see a little bit more from that guy.
Well, heck, take us to Minnesota.
Well, Teddy B, you know, we started
your guy.
We started early in the season with him being my guy. I scooped him up. I dropped him, and well, he got hurt. Now he's practicing in full. Looks like he's going to start. Carolina visits Minnesota. 4-7 Carolina at 4-6 Vikings. Minnesota is a 4.5 point favorite, and you know, we'll have to wait and see what how Teddy B looks coming back from his injury. Mike Davis is still, as Ricky calls him, Mr. Consistency. He's just going to do his thing. That was that Mike? Was that Mike Davis that you said that about, Rick? Or was that the, that was the?
I don't like Mike Davis no more.
broke up.
McCaffrey's out, so Mike Davis is still going to have to come in and do his thing. He has been, though, pretty consistent with McCaffrey out. He did go for 64 yards rushing and a touchdown last week, a couple yards receiving. My man DJ Moore, it seems like he did better without Teddy B. So when Teddy B's in there, he does seem to lean towards Robbie Anderson and Curtis Samuel. So I don't know if this impacts DJ Moore in any kind of way. I'm still firing up DJ Moore. I like what he did last week, and hopefully that continues. I have T. Higgins on my squad, and obviously I can't start him. That's just a sad situation there. We don't even want to talk about Joe Burrow's injury. So, but we'll have to wait and see how Carolina looks, Teddy B back from injury and starting up. Minnesota, on that side, you got Kirk Cousins coming off a fantastic game. 3 touchdowns. He went for 314 yards. And then, of course, Dalvin Cook, the machine. He's going to do what Dalvin Cook does. Carolina's defense should have shut down or should not have shut down Matt Stafford when he played against them, and they just did a number on him. I think that was a total fluke. I think Minnesota will have their way with all the young bucks on Carolina's defense. Justin Jefferson is going to go off, I think, in this game. Watch out for him. Thielen, that was kind of weird, the COVID thing. He was positive, and then he was negative. I don't know what happened with that, but hopefully or thankfully – I guess he's currently negative for COVID, so he'll be fired up. And
well, we're still expecting him. We still got to find out. I mean, hopefully by Friday when this airs, we will have an update so that we know that he's playing. I will say that, you know, Carolina, the wide receivers, this is a golden opportunity with Minnesota.
Yes, that's what I was going to say too.
Go for it, baby.
Expect Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel just be able to fly on this team. Like, but on the other side, expect Dalvin Cook to be able to run all over Carolina. So yep. I think it's just going to be a fun game to watch. A lot of points is what my guess is.
Yeah. Dalvin Cook, he's the top priced running back in DFS this week in DraftKings, $9,500. And I think he's going to be worth it.
For a reason, Carolina's run defense, no es bueno.
No es bueno. No es bueno. Ay, Dios mío, they're so bad.
Oh, yeah, man. So, yeah, he's in a, yeah, you Dalvin Cook owners out there are salivating, not at the turkey, not the stuffing, but at this matchup, because it's going to be Dalvin Cook should have a fantastic, fantastic game against Carolina's very, very poor run defense.
Ricky, you got the next game.
All right, so I'm going to take you guys down to Jacksonville, where absolutely nothing is happening because they are on their third quarterback. No. Mike Glennon, right?
Yep.
The old guy. Did he play for the Raiders?
I think so.
I think he did.
Who knows? But, I mean, expect this game to be just another monster game for Chubb and Kareem Hunt to run. Hopefully Hunt can do something this time. But Jacksonville just has no defense against anything. So Cleveland just really needs to win easily. I don't know if Baker's going to use this to kind of show off a little more. But either way, expect Chubb to get a crap load of yards. I don't expect anything from Jacksonville. Cleveland's running defense is pretty good. Robinson's really good at running. But I just don't think with Glennon coming in, I don't know if they're going to be able to spread the ball around enough to be able to create those lanes Robinson needs. But otherwise, this is an ugly game. I would fire up everyone on Cleveland. Not everyone, because they never go to Austin Hooper. But I would fire up Landry. I would fire up Hunt, Chubb, and even Baker Mayfield, because he might be cheap because he's been sucking lately. But he's got no competition in this game, so he needs to show off.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield may use this game as, like you say, just like a stat patter, you know, just to show his agent and show, you know, his teams out there, and, you know, go for those perks and bonuses in his contract. If he does so many good things, he gets extra money. This may be that game where he just goes off and just goes bananas. I'm playing against Nick Chubb this week, so hopefully that happens and Chubb doesn't do anything. So I'm crossing my fingers that it's a Baker Mayfield type game.
If it's a Baker Mayfield day, Chubb will also get his yards.
Well, it's going to be garbage time the whole game, pretty much, right? So you're talking about garbage time.
But for the winning team, garbage time's running.
Right.
Ricky, right. I will say I don't know if I agree with not playing Austin Hooper. That remember Jacksonville is number 31 against fantasy tight ends. So
Georgie, they suck against everybody.
Yes, they do suck.
They're number 30 everybody. Against the quarterback, 26 against the running back, 27 against the wide. They suck against everybody.
So Hooper will just he'll still be fourth in line. So
he'll still they're still gonna throw to the wide receiver because he's probably gonna be more wide open than Hooper.
That's true. Landry should have a real nice game this week.
Now, on the other side, are you guys tempted by DJ Chark? Because you can beat Cleveland through the air.
No way. I mean, that's going to be if anything, that's enticing for me to play Cleveland defense, because if Glennon's going to be chucking the ball around, it's not going to be accurate. And Cleveland's going to have a couple, maybe a pick six, maybe two pick sixes. I'm really hoping for
there's
that.
No way they have chemistry to be able to
exactly
to just be wheeling and dealing. Maybe you get one lucky 50 yard catch, but that's it.
Mm-hmm. And a couple of picks for sure. At least two picks.
That could be. I mean, at least weather's not going to be an issue. Jacksonville, you know, it'll be nice and warm.
Yeah,
so
yeah, Florida, it's always nice weather. That's the one thing that Florida's got going for them. It's always nice weather.
The Browns are going to be kind of like, wow, this is what you can actually play football in this kind of weather after some of the, you know, basura that they've been playing.
Yeah, last week in the rain and just rain.
I think after this week, they're going to be friggin' shocked that they are five games over 500.
Amazing. Freaking amazing.
Man. Go Brown. Who would have thunk it, right?
Well, that Jacksonville game was a bet, obviously, with the Jaguars being +6. And we got another one of my bets. Denver, 4-6, hosting the 8-2 first place New Orleans Saints and top seed in the NFC. If the playoffs were to start today, the Saints are a 6-point favorite with a 43.5 over under. So people are expecting a little bit of defense. Now, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about, we were talking offline about Taysom Hill. Is he for real? What's Denver going to have for him? And, you know, I think it's going to come down to what Denver defense shows up. Last week, they were in Tua's grill all day long, and they couldn't solve him. And so all of a sudden, it was just Tua couldn't solve that defense.
Right.
So they had to take him out, and probably took him out for his own safety. Taysom Hill, is he, you know, now New Orleans has one of the best offensive lines.
He's not a rookie, though. Taysom's not a rookie.
Yeah, not a rookie.
So I don't expect him to run too much.
Oh, he's kind of like a rookie because he's never started before. This is the first time he's a starting quarterback. So this is the first time defenses get to see him as a starting quarterback running the entire playbook. So, yeah, it is kind of like he's a rookie because he's never done this before.
I look at this one where I think Taysom Hill is going to get his because I agree. He is kind of a rare breed, you know, just a different guy. I think he's going to they're going to make a little bit more effort to involve Alvin Kamara in the passing game. Because remember, the last game was the first time he had never caught a single pass.
And we know Alvin Kamara, you know, he said something, you know, halftime or after the game. Like, what's up?
After the game. And you know what? And it's something. Funny. It's funny, you know, I started listening, you know, some of the other podcasts that I listened to that, you know, the fantasy community is like, oh, it's everything's changing. You don't go off of a single game. We don't go with the trends. We don't go crazy. No nos vamos locos for over a single game. You know, we got to see what Kamara does this week. I do say that the thing that I really liked was that Michael Thomas was very much involved in the last game, which was something that I was kind of thinking, if something's going to happen, Sean Payton, one of the best play callers in the game, was going to put a game plan together to get Michael Thomas involved, because that dude is one of the, as Hector, you've said, he's a G. He's a guy you got to get involved. So, you know, on the other side, the thing with Denver that I really don't like them this week because of the fact that the New Orleans defense has been balling out lately. They have just been, ever since that game where they just dominated the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they've just been, you know, one of the, if not the best defense in the game, one of the best defenses. And Denver just, Drew Lock is not an elite quarterback. No. He's not that kind of guy. And, you know, they're great. You know, they're still solid against the run. I just think New Orleans is going to have too much firepower on the defensive side, and they're going to, you know, compound that with just enough on their side. Weather's not going to be an issue in this game. You know, temperatures in the 40s, and it's going to be sunny. So it's going to be, you know, I think this is going to be kind of a fair game with New Orleans kind of coming out. I hope it's only by, yeah, I hope it's by less than 6 points though, just to make my bet look good.
Well, here's my thing. Remember, Drew Lock in the last two games has thrown 5 interceptions.
Oof.
Four, one last game, 4 in the game before that. So obviously he's got to be hearing footsteps at least a little bit. You know, he's got to be, that's got to shake your confidence a little bit. And now you're going up against the New Orleans Saints defense, and they are for real. So, you know, this is not going to be easy on Drew Lock. If he throws a pick early, this may completely just discombobulate him for the rest of the game. And yeah, I think New Orleans.
And they just had 8 sacks, so I'm sure they're hungry for more.
About. I think, you know, Taysom Hill has absolutely, yeah. Everything, all signs are pointing to the Saints just gobbling up the Denver offense and just, you know, eating them up and spitting them out and just having no, you know, having no mercy at all on these guys. And I think it'll be a just. It may end up being a laugher. I think New Orleans may just run away with this one. We'll have to wait and see. But I see Drew Lock getting a little nervous here and just having a bad game. And if that's how it goes, New Orleans is going to kill him.
Something to think about. Taysom Hill, yep. Only 6,200 yep. on DraftKings.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, hey, I had him last week on and I won some money.
Yep. Not as much. Not off of me though. Thank you. Thank you to your boy Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen. So, mm-hmm. Heck, talk to us. Talk to us about what's happening at SoFi.
The San Francisco 49ers are coming to town. Los Angeles Rams, the 4-6. Who would have thunk it? Except Rick. San Francisco 49ers going up against the Rams. At 7-3, this game is off the board right now. We don't have any no odds as of yet, George, for this game.
I think it's mostly because Nick Mullins and we still don't know about the running backs coming back because Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman.
Gotcha.
And okay. Actually the players coming off of the COVID IR, Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk.
Got it. Well, here's the way I look at this game. First of all, you – something wrong with you if you were not completely impressed by the Rams offense last game. I mean, Jared Goff and his buddies, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, they just had a party, you know, last game. And that was
it looked like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Fun to watch, you know, when the Rams have the running game going and they're just clicking on all cylinders, they can really make things happen. And I see more of that happening. San Francisco's defense has not, you know, they're not nowhere near what they were last year. Obviously, they're Niner defense number 17 against fantasy QBs. They're number 11 against fantasy wide receivers. There's nothing. They're not as elite anywhere near the shutdowns that they were last year. And I think Jared Goff's going to take advantage of that. And I think they're going to have another good game. Higby, I think he'll have another good game as well. But I think it's going to be that. I think the Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp show once again, and Goff's looking confident back there. 376, 3 TDs last game. I mean, there's no reason to believe that they won't have more of that. Just continue that going. It's playing at home. On the flip side, San Francisco Niners. I'll hand this one over to you, Rick. You love talking about how awesome the Niner offense is. Tell us
let's just start with who the heck's going to be running the ball, who's going to be throwing the ball, who's going to be catching the ball. Like, we don't know any of this stuff. We barely know anything. Debo Samuel's about to be activated. But at this point, do you even play him if you've been holding on to him this whole time? He might even still be in the waivers because he's got no quarterback. His team might have Mostert, Coleman, McKinnon. If they do, who do you start? It's good news for them because that's the best part of their game is their running game. But the Rams are just smashing running teams. So I just expect this to be a SoFi game the whole day.
Plus, plus, you know, the Rams lost the last game and they did not look good in that game. The thing that I thought was really impressive.
It also had different players for San Fran.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, they had Jimmy G,
Kittle,
in that game.
Garoppolo.
Yep.
Very different. Yeah. A whole different dynamic completely. The Niner defense was a little bit more stout that last time that they played. Very different, whole different game this time around.
Yeah. This one's going to be different a little bit because I think the Rams really found their rhythm in the last game. I mean, Woods and Kupp were just, Goff was using them as his running game, but it was like they were like 5 yards down the field, and then they pitch just take off after that.
Pitch and catch. Yeah.
It was so impressive. It was so impressive. And San Francisco, I mean, I know they're supposed to get Richard Sherman back, you know, possibly from the possibly to play this week, but I don't know. I think the Rams playing at home, and the revenge factor. I think they're looking to come back.
And I think this loss would definitely cement San Francisco not making it in the playoffs. Pretty much, mm-hmm. we could say, Ricky, you're a genius.
you were so right.
Heck, you want to take us to Tampa Bay?
Well, let's go. I mean,
this is going to be fun.
If only you got Patrick Mahomes. You got Tom Brady. This may be.
Who last met at the AFC Championship game, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That AFC Championship game where the Patriots won in overtime.
Yep.
Wait. When did they last year Kansas City won?
No. Kansas City won, but they beat Tennessee in the AFC Championship game.
But did Kansas City play Patriots at all in the playoffs?
No, because the Patriots got knocked out by the
Titans.
Yeah, they got knocked out by the Titans.
So it's been a while since.
Yeah, so it was the Titans. Yeah, well, they met in the AFC Championship the previous year, where the Chiefs had the shot to win, and actually they had gotten an interception because they hit Brady, but they called a player for offsides. And then all of a sudden it was just like, and then he got another play and they ended up scoring like two plays later. So it was, and that was the difference with them going to the Super Bowl instead of the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Well, it should be exciting. Cause I think Tampa Bay, like we say, Tom Brady never has two bad games in a row.
So. Oh yes.
Yep. Neither does Patrick.
Keep talking Mahomes. All about it. Heck.
here's the way I see this game, and this may end up only because Tom Brady has been like, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde this year. He's had fantastic games, and then he's had just absolutely abysmal games. And I just think that regardless of which Tom Brady we see, I think there's going to be a little bit of that passing of the torch happening at this game, where it's just going to become clear that, you know, Patrick Mahomes is taking that torch from Mr. Tom Brady. I think KC's favored by 3 points only, which to me is a little bit weird. They're playing at Tampa Bay, which the weather is always nice at Tampa Bay. So Patrick Mahomes is not going to have any trouble at all. He's coming off a 348-yard, two TD game. CEH went for two touchdowns, although Tampa Bay's run defense is a little bit tougher than what CEH had to deal with last week. But, you know, he's still got Kelce. You know what's up with that, Rick. I'm sure you'll talk about that in just a minute, about your guy Kelce.
I don't think I need to. You know all about him.
Unstoppable. Tyreek Hill, unstoppable. Tampa Bay's got their share of good guys on defense, but I give the edge to KC. Tampa Bay, yes, Leonard Fournette is there. I'm still not impressed by anything Fournette's doing. Ronald Jones either. I mean, last game they both combined for 41 yards total on the ground, Ronald Jones and Fournette. Mike Evans, stud. Chris Godwin, stud. Antonio Brown, we may see a little bit more as each week goes by that, you know, Brady and Brown are gelling, that, you know, that's one more opportunity. They're barely missing. If you're watching the games, you're noticing that, you know, Brown's going for those deep bombs, and Brady is just barely missing him. I think
this game he finally connect.
Yeah, I think they're connect finally this game, and it's going to be interesting. I think KC pulls it out, but I think this will be that official passing of the torch game. Brady hands it off to Mahomes, and
Brady's too greedy. I'll tell you what, this game. Tampa Bay, they need to be competitive, whether they lose or win. If they're not competitive, I'm not going to believe that they're going to make a fight in the playoffs at all, because they're losing too many times to too many good teams for me to think that they're going to be awesome in the playoffs and that Tom Brady is going to be in the NFC Championship again. If he falters against Kansas City and just loses by two touchdowns or more, I'm just going to give up on them.
The interesting thing that I'm looking at this game is like I've the last couple games that Patrick Mahomes has been playing, he's been utilizing that short passing game, which is very similar to what Jared Goff did in the last game against Tampa Bay. So what I'm looking at is could Patrick Mahomes use Tyreek Hill kind of like in that way, where just kind of like throw him a lot of five yard pitches, and then all of a sudden see what he does with, you know, that blazing speed and then incredible cutting ability. I think that would be, you know,
Kelsey too, you know,
yeah,
down there, you know,
Kelsey's another one.
those dump offs. Kelsey is the ideal guy to get those, you know, maybe more so than Tyreek. I mean, either one, you're not going to go wrong by, you know, little 5 yard toss to either Kelsey or Hill, because, you know, good things are going to happen either way, definitely.
The one thing that I'm looking for in this game is possible, you know, kind of like unexpected breakout. I think Ronald Jones could be get the lion's share of running.
What?
Why? This is what I'm gonna t I well here's what I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna tell you why through the way of the seed. And this was something that when I did the interview with Carmen Vitale, she was telling me that when it's a game script that is heavy for that you need to run, and the way to beat Kansas City is you have to run the football. And if it's purely running the football, it's Ronald Jones. If you need, you know, running and receiving, that's when Fournette is the one, is the guy who gets the play. So that's why I think they're going to try and establish the run with Ronald Jones early and see what happens. So and see if that kind of opens up the passing game. And Hector, like you said, those three receivers, I mean, they combined between the three of them for 31 targets on that game. I think
Yep.
there's going to be a lot more of that in this game. So I think this is going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah,
56,
definitely.
56 over under. It's one of the highest of the weekend.
That's up there. That's definitely up there for sure.
All right, let's go. I'm going to close it out. Sunday Night Football, Green Bay 7-3
All
hosting
right, classic.
the old school. I
Green
think
Bay,
this is
Chicago.
the
Let's
oldest
go.
rivalry in the NFL. So the Chicago Bears 5-5, they're on a little bit of a slide. And you know, are they going to flip a coin as to who's going to be the quarterback? Is it going to be Foles, who's coming off a hip injury, or Trubisky, who's coming off a shoulder injury?
You want Foles, though. They want Foles. So, I mean, right? Either way, you want Foles. You don't
I think
want
that's what the coaching
Trubisky.
staff wants.
So it's like you'll go with Foles if he says he can play. If he says he can't play, you'll ask the third string if he thinks he's good.
Oof.
And then
Oh, that's what they
maybe you'll be like, hey, Trubisky, you think you want to play left-handed? But they're going to be running the game. David Montgomery's cleared concussion protocol. So with his average 18 touches a game, I think this is a game where hopefully he can break out, because he's been doomed to. And Green Bay's number 30 against the run. I just hope Chicago just runs all over them, surprises everybody, and takes the win.
That could be interesting. I still think it's Aaron. I mean, you're gonna. I could see that because the Bears do have that fantastic defense, but you know, this is Aaron Rodgers on the other side against, you
Yep.
know, Foles or Trubisky.
Overrated.
Well, you're overrated. Come on, dígame, primo, what?
He's good, but let's put him up against some competition, some good competition.
He threw
I
for
want to see him
311
play
against.
against
He threw for 311 against Indianapolis last week
a
in
very good
Indianapolis.
defense. That's a very
You
good
guys keep
defense in
talking about
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. I'm tired of Indianapolis.
2 weeks in a row, they've been very
But they
good
have Phillip
teams. You know what?
Rivers.
If you want to be a great defense, do it every week in a row, not just the last two.
Well,
So I feel like expect this game to be difficult for Aaron Rodgers. That's all I hope.
I will say
And
that.
I feel like with Chicago being able to run on them, Chicago's going to be able to take a lot of the time off, and therefore Aaron Rodgers is going to have to be forced to make those long throws, those quick throws. And if he doesn't complete a lot of them, he's going to be falling into a lot of three and outs. So, and it's just going to be a game of, what do you call it? Field of possession, or not field of possession. What do you call it when they time of possession?
Oh,
Yep.
yeah.
And Chicago's going to, just looking at it on paper, Chicago should be dominating in that.
On the they could, because their defense is so good that they're stopping both the running and the passing game. So they're one of the best, and they're one of the best around. I mean, I've seen them a few times, and they're just fantastic. The one thing though is they haven't seen Davante Adams, who's just the hottest man on the planet when it comes to, you know, wide receivers. And he's just, I mean, last week in a tough matchup, he went for 106 yards and a touchdown. You know, he's number two in the league in touchdowns with 10, and that's with missing two games. So just an overall stud. I could see him making a play to win the game, win a close game. Because again, also it's Aaron Rodgers in prime time. So that dude shows up. And it's in Green Bay.
Oh yeah, when all eyes are on Aaron Rodgers, he definitely balls out. He good. So be ready for that.
He good, but
I think this game will be closer than most people think.
I could see that. Well, I could see it being a close game. I could definitely see it being a close game. I just don't know how many points Chicago is going to put up on the board if David Montgomery isn't 100% and doesn't play well. So that one, it could be Cordarrelle Patterson.
Very possible. There you go.
Oh man. Well, hey, that's it for us on Thanksgiving week. Como decimos, eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure independent podcasts gets out into the Familia community. Please make sure you're subscribing. Apple, Google, Spotify, leave us an Apple review. We'd really appreciate it. Remember following us on Twitter and Instagram at Familia FFB. I will say my daughters have decided to make it a project, just a little bit of a surprise, Primos. They're making it their own project to beef up our Instagram presence. So
all right.
If all of a sudden we're getting, they're like Instagram.
They know that stuff, man.
Yes, they do. I know they did something for all of a sudden I told them, oh, okay, you know, Aaron Donald and JJ Watt are big players that wear number 99. Because last was our 99th episode. Next thing I know, my daughter Rianne, she does this with this picture conglomeration between JJ Watt and Aaron Donald. Nice. It looks so cool. So I was just like, okay, let the experts go. Cool. Well, you guys can find me at Twitter at Jorge Martin 17. Hector, ¿dónde te hallamos?
What the heck? Two T's.
Oh, claro que sí. And don't forget our original content at familiaffb.com as well as our Familia Facebook page. So again, gracias, everybody. Primos, gracias. Enjoy the rest of the Thanksgiving weekend. Enjoy the turkey day, the turkey mole leftovers. And remember, everybody, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.